This is actually Torah that emanates from Bayit Vegan. Part of it. The stimulus came from Bayit Vegan. What I mean to say is, we just moved to Bayit Vegan, and Shabbos night, last Shabbos, I was at the Yeshiva Kol Torah, and one of the Rebbeim, probably was the Rosh Yeshiva, I think. He said something, he quoted Gemara in Yevamos, and he made a big deal of something, and then I just have a very nice midrash that connects to what he was saying. Let me try to enact how he said it. The Gemara in Yevamos speaks about an ace ratzon, right? That's called a time of favor. So he's like this. Ace ratzon, milsahi! Ace ratzon, milsahi! Milsahi! Probably want to know what milsa means. Ace ratzon, a time of divine favor. It's something. Literally, it's a thing. But he's saying it's really, really something to take hold of. It's a milsahi. Ace ratzon, milsahi. So interesting, in Ashrei, there's our most famous pasuk of all, where it says, Po seach es yedecha, u masbia l'chol chai ratzon. The Malbim has a very unique way of explaining this. And most people understand that to mean you open your hands and you satisfy the ratzon of every little thing, the desire of every thing. The Malbim sees the word ratzon, which is desire or favor, as the subject of the sentence. So it would read like this. Ratzon, favor, poseach es yedecha, opens your hand, umaspia l'chol chai, and satisfies living things. So he explains that there's sometimes that Hashem brings about what's called an ace ratzon, a time of divine favor, and the whole world gets incredible benefit. And in the context there, he's saying people get food and their provisions to a tremendous degree of satiety. Here, we're talking about an ace ratzon too, and actually when I discussed this a long time ago, people were pressing me, that's funny, that's just saying, well, it's out of your control. You know, if there's an ace ratzon, if there's a divine favor, good. If not, you don't get anything. Remember, you were pressing me on that? So, from this other thing, from the Gemara and Vamos, ace ratzon milsahi. Okay, it's true, it may not be in your hands to generate an ace ratzon. However, the thing is this, when an ace ratzon occurs, a time of favor occurs, you're supposed to take advantage of it. It's an incredible thing to take advantage of. So I want to give you an example of midrash of an ace ratzon that occurred. It was at the time of the birth of Yitzhak. Okay, it says Avram was 100 when he gave birth to Yitzhak his son. And then the next pasuk talks about Sarah. It says, "But Tomer Sarah, and Sarah said, Tzachok asali, no laughter Hashem made for me." Elohim, kol hashomea yitzahakli. Everyone who hears about this, they're going to laugh for me. So listen to the midrash. I love the way the midrash presents things. But it quotes that pasuk. Reb Berachia bar Yehuda bar Simon b'shem Shmuel bar Yitzhak, Ruvein b'simcha, Shimon mach patle. You know that expression, mach patli, what do I care? It seems like a very modern Israeli expression. It's right here in the Midrash. Reuven b'simcha, Shimon mach patli. Reuven's in joy, what does Shimon care about it? You know, somebody you don't know, something good happened to him, what do you care? And it says, Kach Sarah nifgada. Sarah was remembered to have a child. Other people, who cares? What difference does it make to them? That's the midrash asks. So it's asking, the verse said, when anyone who hears about that, they're going to be like laughing. So it says, instead of looking at it that way, Ela b'shash nifkada imenu Sarah, at the time that Sarah was remembered and visited with a child, harbe akaros nifkadu ima, there were many barren woman that had children that day. Harbe Harashim Nitpachu. A lot of deaf people gained hearing. Harbe Sumim Nitpachu. Sorry, Niftachu. Lots of blind people had sight. Harbi Shotim Nishtapu. Retarded people became intelligent. Okay, and then it brings a riot for this. So at that time, it wasn't what happened to Sarah. There was an Eis Ratzon in the birth of Yitzhak. There was an Eis Ratzon throughout the world, and not only did they experience miracles and joy, and extra things were taking place everywhere. So that's an Eis Ratzon. An Eis Ratzon causes, again, as the Malbim says, like its extra level of good things are happening. So as this rabbi was yelling about it, El is an Eis Ratzon. You know, this was the time that, in this period, Moshe went up, and he basically recouped things for the Jews. We were in very, very bad shape, and it was time Hashem was misratza. Hashem was reconciled with him, and this time really worked. It was an Eis Ratzon. It was a very, very special opportunity. So Eis Ratzon, who is it? The Eitz Yosef says that an Eis Ratzon is often generated by a tzaddik. You know, it was probably an exclusive Avram and Sarah that stimulated this, or the birth of Yitzhak represented such a critical thing. This is from the Midrash Tankuma. The birth of Yitzhak was such a critical thing because it was ensuring that there'd be a Jewish people and people would serve Hashem. Hashem caused the entire world to reverberate with special things and joy. So, okay, those are very special things that cause them, but for sure, it's an announcement. Take advantage and do something with the time. So another thing that this rabbi said is helpful. What happens, you can get inspired for periods, and then you forget. And especially towards the end of Elul, it can happen that you sort of forget. Or let's say when you're benching, you forget. Or when you're davening, you forget. So he said there's two things every day on a daily basis that should just, when you hear them, you should say, Eis Ratzon Milsahi, I have a period of divine favor, let me take advantage of it. The shofar, right? Really, when the shofar blows, it's just tell yourself, this is an Eis Ratzon, right? And also when we say L'David, in other words, it's another thing, we say L'David in the morning, L'David in the evening, they're like signals to remind you, you're in a period of Eis Ratzon, and the next thing you think of, the next thing you're doing, realize you have a period of divine favor, and take advantage of it. The acts you do now are going to have incredible impact. Your ability to straighten things out with Hashem, just like Moshe straightened things out with the entire Jewish people, that's what we have before us. So Hashem should mezak us. I understand it's saying that in this Eis Ratzon is to intensify the quality of your prayer, your brachas, your learning of Torah, and to use this time to make, maybe since you asked me, again, obviously, tshuva, this is a time to reconcile your problems with Hashem, where you're stuck, where you're not serving Him well, you know, to address those things. I'll just maybe share one other thing with you about that. This is a time where maybe one of the things people struggle with the most is, let's say you have habitual problems, and you know you're doing God forbid averas, or you're lax about mitzvahs, and you have a habit. You know, I think habit is one of the most daunting things, and it discourages us, and we say, well, what can I do about this? I've got a habit, and it's so hard to break. So besides the fact that I understand Eis Ratzon, you can have a chance to break through in habits. I heard a beautiful thing by a Rabbi Eisenblatt. He says, you know, we often despair that we can break habits and change habits. So he says, twice a year, we break habits that have ingrained for half a year, right? Says when you're davening in the tefillah for v'sein tal matar, right, or v'sein bracha, right? Each you have to in Pesach time and here in this time in Sukkot, you Morita Geshem, you have a habit of for 6 months of saying the same thing, right? And as I'll tell us that after 30 days. Of doing the new one, it's presumed, let's say if you forgot, it's presumed you did say it. So they rely on the fact that you broke your habit of saying the other thing after about a month of of persistence. So Elul is 30, okay, we can put in the other 10 days. But you have 40 days of work. Why don't you pick a habit? Pick something you feel you're stuck at, either something you're doing wrong or something you'd like to do better, right? Look at it that you have a 30-40-day period. If you work on it, what happens? What's your psychology? You say, I have to save a St. Tom Mutter. I'm obligated to change here. I have no choice. I'm obligated to change. And then you work at it, and you may forget, and you may drop it, and we assume you're going to forget in those 30 days, because then we say that we presume you did not say the right thing, right? So why don't you pick a habit? Pick something that you're stuck at. And the areas that I have to change this, especially if it's an avera or it's not doing a positive commandment or action. So say, I have to change this. I have 30, 40 days. And if you would do it every day, no question, I have to work on this. I have to change this. Who knows? It could be a presumed hazaka that after that 30, 40 days, you've changed it. So that's what I suggest.